Слава Ісусу Христу до вашого дому! Добрий день! Вітаємо вас у нашій русинській релації. Нашим спонсором є Общество Карпато-Русинів в Америці. Приходимо к вам кожну неділю і граємо про вас найліпші русинські пісні. Теж презентуємо вам найновші справи і інформації о русинах з освіта.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Carpatho Russian Society Heritage Program, brought to you each and every Sunday right here on AM 73 WPIT in Pittsburgh, also streaming online at WPITAM.com and archived on our webpage c-rs.org. I am your host, Dean Paloka. Today is Sunday, the 13th of April. It is Palm Sunday for both Orthodox and Catholic Russians around the world. Today's program is going to honor Carpatho Russian Society President Emeritus John Righetti. We are in 20th anniversary mode, and in 2 weeks we will have the big 20th anniversary celebration, the weekend of the 25th through the 27th. John Righetti has been propagating Russian culture for decades, and it will be honored with the second Michael Strank Award on the 26th of April. Congratulations to John, and we have John Righetti today interviewed for the program, and we're going to play selections that John likes. He spent a lot of time in Transcarpathia, did a lot of work with the Zakarpatsky Narodny Hor, as well as traveling all through Transcarpathia. So we're going to play mostly Transcarpathian songs for him. Since we are in Holy Week, we will start today's program with Having Suffered the Passion for Us, Preterpivoj za nas strasi. I'm here with John Righetti, President Emeritus of the Carpatho Russian Society, on today's Carpatho Russian Society Heritage Program. Welcome to the show, John.
Always a pleasure to be here, Dean.
Thanks for coming on. This program today is dedicated to you, John, and I know that you have been part of the Russian scene all of your life, such as I have, but being the first president of the world's largest Russian organization makes it a little more special. You've been the president since inception until just last year. Give us a little bit of a feel of what it was like to be president of the Carpathian Russian Society, and tell us some of the major accomplishments that the Carpathian Russian Society has achieved in those last 20 years.
Well, you know, it's been really very exhilarating for me, but it's also a little difficult for me to talk about because, you know, nobody ever develops an organization as vibrant as the Carpathian Russian Society by himself. Mm-hmm. So I had an absolutely wonderful planning group, the eight of us who got together to create this organization. And over the years, just absolutely stellar officers at the national level and at the chapter levels as well. So it really has built upon itself. And I think that's one of the things that's really gratifying for me, is to be able to see how it's grown and that it's really organic, that it was born out of the fact that we really were in the right place at the right time. We really had a sense of the Russian community was ready to come together. And as you well know, and as many Russians and others know, the most difficult issue for Russians was that long ago, those people who wanted to keep us from developing a sense of nationality and identity and wanted to keep us from pulling together used this divide and conquer concept. And the most successful one, of course, particularly in the United States, was to divide us religiously. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, there were so many hard feelings between the Byzantine Catholic Russian community and the Orthodox Russian community. And I'm so happy to say that this grand experiment called the Carpathian Russian Society was really focused on, were we ready to get over that heartache and come together for the good of our culture? And not only to bring those two Eastern Rite groups, but, you know, this is America. And over generations, many Russians had intermarried, and there were Roman Catholic Russians and right. Protestant Russians and you name it. And if you ask me what's one of the things that really satisfies me about what CRS has been able to do and what we've been able to achieve, it was to reunite the Russian community, to get it over its division heartache, and to pull it together for the good of our culture. Mm-hmm. So that started very early on, and I think we all knew we were onto something. The very first meeting was 85 people attended here in Pittsburgh at the University of Pittsburgh, and on the spot, 45 of them joined.
I remember that meeting quite well. I think I was one of those 45 that joined.
I'm sure you were. but you know, nothing that's meaningful is born without some challenges. Even that very first meeting, there were people who were very, very much against the founding of the Carpathian Russian Society. We actually had to make even the University of Pittsburgh security people aware of the fact that there were people who were threatening to disrupt that first meeting.
I remember that.
We've had that here and there as time has gone on. So, you know, nothing is perfect, but, you know, I learned very early on in life that everything worth doing for is fraught with its challenges.
We will have more with our interview with John Regetting in just a moment, but first we go to Ensemble Irshava with a Zakarpatsky Kruchenyi.
Natalko, de grabli! Grabli v studi!
Asino!
Asino v porozi!
Šo s vami?
A kje se tako robite, še me včora spivali?
Bili mene, ja ne bil nego.
Oh, yeah.
як пошу поманицю із росою і росу, та думав за таріку на паучі косу.
Пищелочка я корова, комлеця я можу, кобин така роботи, як до співа ночок. Кобин така роботи, як до співа ночок. Сінно стозі, граблі до корозі.
What I think is perhaps one of the most important within an American context, which is the uniting of Rusyns for their culture. But I think one of the other things that we've achieved is starting to make American culture aware of the validity of Rusyn culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think another really very powerful thing is we have really made headway with our own people in helping them no longer feel like second-class citizens.
Mm-hmm.
That may, to someone who's of Irish or Italian extraction, that may seem bizarre, but Rusyns having been divided and having been held down pretty much as a subclass by all of the governments that have had them since the 1850s, at least, just getting our own people to say, you know, I don't have to couch what Rusynness is in the concept of something else. So, you know, one of the things people laugh about it when I run around and they say, well, when people ask me what I am and I say Carpathian Rusyn, how am I supposed to explain that? Like, am I supposed to say it's more like Slovak, it's more like Ukrainian? I said, no, you're not supposed to say it's more like anything. I says, nobody asks the Italian to explain. Nobody asks the Pole to explain. You don't have to explain. You have a one-liner, which is we're a Slavic people from the Carpathian Mountains of Eastern Europe, and that's it. You don't have to justify yourself as why don't you have a country? What are you more like? And I think getting our people over that sense of persecution and second-class citizenship has been enormous, and it's causing us, and I'll tell you why I'm excited about it, where there is no sense of second-class citizenship is in those generations that come after us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those Rusyns who are under 30, they're not apologetic about being Rusyn at all. They don't feel like they have to explain it. They don't care whether people like it or not.
Right.
They just simply have internalized that that's what they are. And boy, is that really gratifying given our history.
I know that the Carpathian Rusyn Society has helped organizations and Rusyns in the Rusyn homeland. Can you touch a little bit upon some of the works that the Carpathian Rusyn Society has done in that realm?
Oh, I'd be happy to, because, you know, one of the other things I'm proud of at the achievement is both how we've been able to help our people both culturally and from a humanitarian perspective in Europe. It's really hard for a lot of people whose ancestors come from Western Europe especially, and whose ancestors or relatives were not under the yoke of socialism or communism, to understand how desperate things became in Eastern Europe when communism fell in the late 80s. You know, systems, infrastructures fell apart. Right. This is everything from, you know, healthcare was not what it once was, that there weren't goods to purchase to eat, that there were, just a host of problems that happens when an infrastructure crumbles. And the Rusyns were no exception to that, most especially those Rusyns who were living in Ukraine and Transcarpathia, because they were the ones of all the Rusyn groups who actually had lived in the Soviet Union for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so the situation was much more repressive. And when the systems broke across the Soviet Union, they broke big time.
Right.
So I'm really happy that we were able to rally Rusyns here in the United States to be able to support Rusyn cultural activity and also humanitarian efforts. So to this day, the CRS's Humanitarian Aid Committee contributes significant dollars, all dollars raised from our membership, to buy medical equipment for the hospitals in Transcarpathia, to provide medicines
mm-hmm.
for people there, to be able to provide medical journals, even things like stethoscopes for young Rusyn doctors at the University of Ushurod, so that we can pick up the level of medical care for those people. Culturally, we have a really long history of support. You know, again, when communism first fell and the infrastructure was not great, that's a really a good time for governments to kind of when they have to cut expenses, forget about their minority groups. And we've done everything from in the very, very early days when Slovakia was an independent republic. We paid to keep the only Rusyn language newspaper published mm-hmm. in Slovakia. We've paid in Poland and to help develop their youth movement. In Transcarpathia, we helped to support everything from publications to singing groups and the network of Rusyn schools, because as everyone knows, Ukraine still does not support its Rusyn minority. And so for young people to learn about their Rusyn history and culture, they have to do it on Sunday. And that's done with teachers who are paid small stipends. And most of those dollars have come from North America, and a very large portion of them from the Carpathia Rusyn Society and its members. Mm-hmm. So there has been, and then the other thing I think in relationship with Europe is that we've created this wonderful educational process for both the European governments mm-hmm. Where Rusyns live, as well as the U.S. State Department and the European Union. And the United States Congress, so that we keep education about who the Rusyns are, what their issues are, what's going on in the Rusyn homeland in front of these governments, so that they know that this is not some little mountain people that has no advocates for them, mm-hmm. And that the effort is internationally organized to keep Rusyn issues on the table of governments.
We'll have more with John Rigetti in just a couple seconds. Next, we go back to Zakarpattia with John's probably most favorite Rusyn song, Ivanku, Ivanku.
Mine. They had a plan to stay strong in time.
My grandfather and all my uncles and aunts were members of the DCU. I'm married and I have three kids, and I found my wife here at the 50th bowling anniversary tournament, and ever since then we've been active in Pittsburgh and Michigan in all the GCU functions.
Well, I joined the GCU when I got married. I'm a mother, a wife, and a grandmother. When we found out we were having a granddaughter, on her christening day, we gave her a GCU life insurance policy. I see a lot of young people being involved, and that makes me, as a grandma, feel really good.
GCU for life. GCU for life.
Fraternally yours.
For more information on the GCU, please give them a call at 1-800-722-4428. That's the GCU, 1-800-722-4428. The Byzantine Catholic Sarah Club, together with the Byzantine Catholic Seminary, invites the faithful to come with their children to the first Easter egg hunt at the Byzantine Catholic Seminary, located at 3605 Perrysville Avenue in Pittsburgh. This will take place on Sunday, April 27th, beginning at 3 p.m. For more information about the Byzantine Catholic Sarah Club and Byzantine Catholic Seminary's first Easter egg hunt at the seminary, please give them a call at area code 412-321-8383. That's 412-321-8383. Now back to our interview with John Righetti. We are celebrating the 20th year of the Carpathia-Rosen Society by having a great weekend of events. And the highlight of the events will be a banquet on Saturday the 26th. And the highlight of that highlight, John, is honoring you for all of the work that you have done in the Rosen realm for many, many decades by being awarded the second Michael Strank Award, which is a great honor, and we congratulate you on that honor. It's well-deserved. And tell us a little bit about the events that are going to happen during the 20th anniversary weekend, the weekend of the 25th through the 27th.
The planning committee for CRS has done an exemplary job, and what I think is really good about it is it's a nice variety of events that are not duplicative of what we did for the 15th anniversary or the 10th anniversary. Mm-hmm. So it shows the organization continuing to evolve and become sophisticated. Friday night at the National Rusyn Cultural Center, there will be a welcome reception just for people, all the members who are coming in. One of the things that's happening is the entire first floor of the Cultural Center will have been completely, the entire museum section will have been completely renovated with wonderful cultural displays, including costume displays, our first ever display to the famous Rusyn Lemko artist Nikifor with his original works, and also the evolution of Rusyn culture in America. Saturday is a really exciting day. I'll pat you on the back. At the Bulgarian Macedonian Cultural Center, we'll be hosting a Rusyn dance workshop that you, with your decades of expertise in Rusyn dance, will be hosting, and I encourage people to turn out for that. It will be it'll give you all the steps you need to dance later at the reception that evening. While that's going on, Megan Smolenyak will be doing a genealogy conference on Rusyn genealogy at St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, just a few blocks away. Mm-hmm. Megan, for those who aren't familiar with her, is one of this country's leading genealogists. In fact, her most recent claim to fame was that she found the Irish roots of President Obama. Mm-hmm. Also at St. Nicholas, right after her presentation, there's hosted by St. Nicholas Church as gift to CRS for the anniversary. The cooks of St. Nicholas are preparing Rusyn foods, which people who are attending events that day or members can come in and purchase and get a taste of what Bubba used to cook for us. And that afternoon, I'll be hosting our traditional Rusyn bus tour of Pittsburgh, which hosts some of the highlights, everything from Andy Warhol's boyhood home to the National Center to the section of town called Ruska Dolina, Rusyn Valley, and to St. Michael's original church in Rankin, and the history of the church splits amongst Rusyns. That evening, the banquet at the Bulgarian Macedonian Cultural Center with great food catered by Nick Jordanoff, who everyone in Pittsburgh knows, very talented cook of mixed Bulgarian and Russian extraction. Mm-hmm. And the band, Paitashi, from New York City, will be there for listening and dancing pleasure, outstanding Russian music.
Yes.
And then to conclude the weekend, and I really encourage people to come for this at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon at the National Cultural Center in Mount Hall, Dr. Elaine Rusinko from the University of Maryland, who has been very active with CRS, has been on the national and the Washington, D.C. boards with the organization, will be delivering her spectacular presentation on Andy Warhol, We Are All His Children, mm-hmm. and the effect that Andy Warhol has had not only on American pop culture and world culture, but also the role of Andy Warhol's Russian ethnicity, since he was a Russian American, and how that all interacts. Elaine has done this presentation several places, and it is enormously well received. And of course, at the National Cultural Center, the gift shop will be open, so people can purchase books, CDs, T-shirts, imported Russian items. It can go home, just reeking of your Russian ethnicity.
Well, thank you very much for that informative description of what the CRS has done and what to expect for the 20th anniversary festivities. Congratulations once again, John, the honoree of this banquet of the Michael Strank Award. So congratulations again to you, John. And do you have any last comments for us before we sign off the air here?
Just that clearly CRS has left an imprint for Russian culture for all time. And the fact that you and I are talking today on the West's only English language Russian radio program sponsored by CRS is living proof of that. No stone has been left unturned in terms of ways to educate people about our culture.
Thank you once again, John. We look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thank you too, Dean.
Thank you for joining me today on the Carpatho Russian Society Heritage Program and our tribute to John Rigetti, President Emeritus of the Carpatho Russian Society. Join us again next week on AM 73 WPIT for the best in Russian music, Sunday at 2:30. Also streaming live on the internet, WPITAM.com, and archived at c-rs.org. See you all next week. Zbohom.